my friend in the Air Force, his dad had a restaurant down in Hampshire, which is where Edward Heath lived. And Edward Heath used to go to his restaurant every week. And he always had a young boy with him. Savile would provide the boys from the children's homes, the everything else. Then the Hôtel de la Garenne in Jersey, which is owned by the royal family, those are Channel Islands. He'd take out these boys out on his boat and then have his way with them and toss them overboard. I bet it was much more than 16.
Hey friends, welcome back. Thanks so much for tuning in. It's Sean from SGT Report here. That was Mark Atwood, and this guy is fantastic. In fact, we went long today, so I'm probably going to leave you wanting more because I'm cutting this into two parts. So this is part one with global truth teller, Mark Atwood. Thanks for tuning in, friends. Before we start, just a quick word about our sponsor. We've told you the truth about the destruction and the demise of the US dollar and its purchasing power on this channel for more than a decade. So how do you feel about leaving your money in the bank? Not great, right? It's losing value every single day because it's being debased. So if it's stressing you out, why not invest smarter with Noble Gold Investments? Precious metals are simple and real, tangible wealth. And by the way, gold just broke a new all-time high in USD. That's why you can't go wrong with precious metals. They always have your back. Noble Gold Investments is the same. Their American-based experts will show you how to set and forget your IRA or 401k. Now, there's no guarantee of any kind with any investment, so do your own due diligence, but you'll get a dedicated professional assigned to you from Noble Gold. So no hassle, no call centers. This month, Noble Gold Investments is giving a free quarter-ounce gold standard coin with every qualifying IRA investment. Visit noblegoldinvestments.com to claim your gold coin. That's noblegoldinvestments.com. Hey friends, welcome back. Thank you so very, very much for tuning in. It's Sean from SGT Report. Guys, I'm very, very happy and delighted today to deliver the truth about the nature of the spiritual war today in a lighter way and with some humor, because this guest reminds me just a bit of Ricky Gervais. He is an author, a lecturer, a poet, and the host of the Mark Atwood Show. That's markatwoodshow.com. The one and only Mark Atwood. How are you, sir?
Yeah, I'm not going to take that Ricky Gervais thing personally. Thanks, Sean.
Yeah, well, I'll play a clip in just a minute that will prove you are very Ricky, I think, through and through. And I like Ricky Gervais. He calls out the pedos in Hollywood to their faces, and they all laugh as though it's not true because they know it's true. You know, truth is humorous, and nothing more true than the pedos in Hollywood. You want to talk a little bit about Tom Hanks, allegedly? All right. Well, guys, the new book is coming out next month. It's called Weapons of Mass Protection. And yes, that is from Mark Atwood. Guys, we have so much to talk about today. So you and I have something really cool in common, and that's our great friends, Hope and Devon in Morocco.
Well, yeah. Firstly, it's very good to meet you too. I've been listening to you for over a decade, I think, which is nuts, isn't it? Yeah, Hope and Devon, I moved to Morocco in 2014 with my five little kids, and because we wanted to get out of the prison planet, UK, back then. It's even worse now. And I was on Facebook and I found this free energy center in Tetouan, which is like 6 hours north of Marrakesh. And I was like, you know, I was very deeply interested in Tesla, still am. And I was like, who are these guys? What's going on here? So I drove 6 hours, met up with Hope and Devon, saw their Tesla device that they were trying to build, because they were trying to create over unity. And then I got involved with Hope Girl and ended up finding them a house near Marrakesh, and they became very good friends and neighbors. And I left in 2017, and then I believe they came on your show and we were doing organite experiments in my garden in 2015. It was 2016. It was amazing. They're just lovely, lovely people. And I said, I'd love to meet Sean one day. And they said they did an email and introduced us. So here we are.
Well, I'm so grateful they did, Mark, because I think the audience is in for a heck of a ride today. And I'm going to just show you all what I was talking about that Ricky Gervais gene that might be pumping through this man. Listen to this. This is all about how COVID is the best thing that ever happened to the human race. Well, how's that possible? Because now we know exactly who the enemies are, friends. Listen to this.
Because we now know who everybody is, right? And that's incredible. And we're like, fucking hell, I had no idea. I was surrounded by so many cunts. Now I know. Oh, now I'm a bit depressed because the world's run by satanic pedophiles that eat children. Fuck. No, now I'm not depressed. And what am I going to do now? I'm going to do something about it.
Mark, I'm coming back to you. I got to tell you, man, that is so on point. And I've always wondered how one could turn what I know into humor on stage. I knew it's possible. I'm not the guy to do it. Evidently, you are. That is pretty darn funny stuff. But the truth of the matter is, this information has set humanity free. So the people who traffic in children and sacrifice children and are screwing the world, we now know who they are. That is the most beautiful thing in the world, man. It gives us a chance, doesn't it?
100%. You know, I've been waking up my entire life. I mean, I was I had demons in my bedroom in 1973. That was the beginning of my journey here, and then I got brainwashed and joined the Royal Air Force, and then I met Prince Philip at St James's Palace when he gave me an award in 1988, I think it was.
Oh boy.
And he didn't recognize my uniform, Sean. That was the funny thing, because I got this Gold Duke of Edinburgh's award. It's a thing in the UK, and I had to delay it because of my father's death. And so by the time I went to collect it, I'd already joined the RAF, and I was in my RAF uniform, and I was very pleased to be there because it was like, God bless you, you know, royal family and everything. But he didn't recognize my uniform. And I thought that was really strange because I looked at him as he shook my hand, and he said, "I see you've joined the He was like on a stop record, and somebody had to whisper in his ear, "Royal Air Force." And I was like, "What? You're the commander in chief. How do you not recognize this uniform?" And then I realized, you know, later that he's a Greek Nazi. He'd probably just come up from sucking adrenochrome in the dungeons under the palace. But I didn't know that at the time. And I ended up resigning from the military. And then this just awakening journey just went, accelerated over time. One of my best friends' brother, who I also went to school with, died in 9/11. That was Matt Campbell's brother Jeff, who was from the same, you know, went to the same school together. And that was huge because Matt Campbell's family are the only family left that are still pursuing the truth for 9/11. You know, they've just tried to get the case reopened yet again recently, and I stood over his shoulder for years while he was having meetings with MI6, with the police. I think he went on the InfoWars and he burnt the 9/11 commission outside of the American embassy in London. And also, you know, during part of that process was he invited me to come with him to a kangaroo court in Guantanamo Bay in 2016. And then my wife at the time wouldn't let me go because we had five little kids. And when we knew what was going on back then, and he flew from London to Washington and then from Washington down to Guantanamo Bay. And as they narrowly avoided a hurricane called Hurricane Matthew, and his name was Matthew, over the Gulf of Mexico, was I think they were trying to take him out. And if you look up Hurricane Matthew on Google Images, you'll see a weather map, a weather picture of it. And it's the face of a demon, no question, you know. So I knew, you know, my spiritual awakening really, really accelerated. And I went into all the conspiracies. I got thrown out of parties. I got defriended on Facebook by all my friends. My own brother defriended me. This is way before COVID.
Why'd your own brother defriend you?
Well, I'm going to do his Birmingham accent just for anybody in England. And he's like, "I don't know what you're talking about." Because I was like, "How do you defriend me? I'm your brother. I don't know what you're talking about."
That's funny.
You know, I was talking about satanic ritual abuse, weather control, chemtrails, point fluoride, everything. You know, I was talking about all of that on Facebook, but I didn't go on YouTube until COVID hit, and it was literally God told me to go on it. I was like, "What? I'm going to go on YouTube? Really? What am I going to talk about?" And because I didn't realize how much knowledge I'd accumulated over the years, and I literally got told to go on YouTube, and I got my son. I said, "Point this camera at me," and I started YouTube, and I got, you know, taken off YouTube. 100,000 subscribers lost, and went through the last 4 years, and you know, and I'm still at it, and I'm very much about trying to explain to people this is a spiritual war, it's a genocide, and it was well planned long before most people realize. And obviously, I knew COVID was bullshit when it came out, but it was it has been. I call it spiritual quarantine. You know, I think this is all part of God's plan. And we don't know who everybody is now, which is amazing, because we didn't know before, did we? Mm-hmm. You know, family members turning their backs on us. What? Who knew? It's amazing, actually, in many ways. And I know saying that can sound glib because there's lots of people dropping dead. But, you know, this is a long prophesied period. I mean, the Hopi prophecy, the eagle and the condor, the end of the 26,000-year cycle, the change from the age of Pisces to Aquarius. I mean, it's all happening, and it's all happening right now in Q. And it's just the most amazing time to be alive. And it's spiritually extremely difficult, but that's what this place is. It's an earth school. It's we chose to come here at this time. I believe Dolores Cannon was right about the waves of souls that came in. And once, you know, as far as I'm concerned, I'm now fulfilling my life and soul's purpose, which is amazing because none of that was happening before. And I had multiple careers from being an RAF pilot, stand-up comic, published poet, journalist, publisher, did loads of different things. And, you know, had varying degrees and just moved on from one to the next because I just got bored easily, I suppose, and had lots of children, did all the things you're supposed to do, mortgages, businesses, blah, blah, blah. But it never really felt fulfilling in the way that this does, because this is the most pivotal part of history. And it's just a real honor to be here and to be partaking in it.
Yeah, me too. I feel the same way. And, you know, I sort of see you as a performance artist and a truther. And you remind me a little bit of Jimmy Dore, too, who I really, really adore. I love Jimmy Dore. I got to get him on the show. Mel Kay had him on recently. I should ask if she can help me hook up with Jimmy Dore, who is a classical Democrat who woke up and now sounds like a conservative or a libertarian or, you know, anything but a Marxist. And he calls out the Marxists every single day. And he calls out treason wherever he sees it every single day, usually from the demon rats, sometimes from the rhinos. But I know that you're a truth teller because you will speak out about satanic ritual abuse. And I just want to play this clip. It's a poem. I think you'll appreciate it very much. Check this out.
We see you. The scales have fallen from our eyes. The veil has drifted down from the sky, meandering firmly, finally revealing your depth of depravity. That's fear you're now feeling. We see you. Your demonic bloodlust laid bare to see, the statue of filth on the BBC, the prince and the madam, the crisper spy, the islands of horrors in the ocean lie. We see you.
God, I love that, man. That gives me goosebumps. I'll keep playing it, but it's just so interesting to watch the world wake up. And you might be familiar with my guest who I have on all the time, Nathan Reynolds. He wrote the book Snatched from the Flames. He talks about these Illuminati families, and they do sleep with fear at night. They really do. They sleep with restless souls because they know their crimes. As much as they try to cover it up and pretend they don't exist, they know the crimes of which they're guilty, and they have sleepless nights. And what really keeps them up at night is when they know we can see them.
A billion souls stolen over the years. You hid them deep down to drown their tears. Perfect and innocent, God's own creations, mutilated by your sick machinations.
Oh my goodness, man, that's fantastic. All right, so trans children, trans swimmers, trans athletes. You for it or against it, Mark? I mean, come on, we live in a world.
Is that a serious question?
It's a rhetorical one that doesn't require an answer. COVID is the best thing that ever happened to the human race. Now, that is a double entendre in the sense that it's the worst thing that ever happened because they rolled out a bioweapon masquerading as a vaccine that, according to doctors I've spoken to, have either killed or injured, a combination of killed and injured, 500 million people, 550 million people in the world. So this thing is a genocidal plan. And it is, by definition, a conspiracy. They conspired to roll this thing out. And now they're putting graphene and all sorts of nanotech in the food and the water. They're probably spraying it on us in the air. These people are genocidal maniacs, Mark, aren't they?
100%. They're beyond evil. And that's one of the reasons why they've got away with it for so long, because apart from all the mind control on places like the BBC, the British Brainwashing Corporation, and all of that nonsense. I mean, I was brainwashed myself as a teenager. I used to salute the national anthem when it came on when nobody else was in the room at the end of question time on BBC on Thursday nights. And despite all of that brainwashing, some of us just don't buy it. And I think Q is right that nothing can stop what's coming. And they know that we are going through a transformation into becoming our true multidimensional selves. And And they, you know, they're not going to be able to feed off us when that happens. And they'd rather take everybody out on the way out. But, you know, they're going to fail.
Well, they're going to fail as long as we don't comply. But see, now you can see the heavy hand of totalitarianism and tyranny rolling out all over the Western world. Australia just passed a digital ID bill, so they're going to track and trace their own citizens. The same thing is rolling out in Canada. They want to roll the same thing out here. So, you know, we're seeing a resistance from those who know the truth. Okay, people like you, but not people like your brother. How do you explain that? And do you think that we've hit a tipping point? I feel like we're getting really close to a tipping point where we can't not win because so many people are waking up and so many people are fed up. People are marching all over the world against what's going on in Gaza. Again, you know, the farmers marching against the World Economic Forum and the United Nations policies to destroy them all over Europe. I feel like we're really close to a tipping point. Do you agree? Or do you think we've already hit the tipping point?
No, I think we are. I spent last weekend, I went to London and hung out. You know, when I started my podcast, I was like, where are the doctors? Where are the awake doctors? And there's a few in the UK. One's Dr. David Cartland. He got double jabbed and woke up. And I said to him, did you never read the ingredients? Were you never taught to read the ingredients as a doctor? And he was like, no, we just did what we were told. And I was like, wow, it's amazing. Because they're the most brainwashed out of the lot.
Yeah.
And he's been speaking out. He's been going through personal hell, speaking out against it. He was there. There was another guy, Ian McDermott, who's a Harley Street knee specialist. So he's been speaking out about it. There's another guy called Dr. Ahmed Malik, who's fantastic from Scotland. He's been speaking out against it. And they all said the same thing last weekend. They all said all the doctors that called them nutters over the last 4 years have started calling them up privately and saying, okay, I think you were right. I'm stopped taking the vaccine. And they say to them, well, are you going to speak out about it? And they're like, well, no, I'm just not going to take any more vaccines. So we're at, you know, where's their conscience? This is the thing that cracks me up. But, you know, they know that once they admit what they did, people are going to chase them down in the street. It's just once the truth comes out about them. And I think that's what Suicide Weekend in the Q post is all about. I think there's a lot of them going to have to leave this mortal coil. And I keep saying the same thing to him, just repent now, because it's not, you know, it's not too late to repent. If you didn't know, you didn't know. I know a lot of people disagree with that and say, no, hang them up in the streets. I mean, I'm not about that. We've got to have compassion for the people that fell for the PSYOP, right? There's a lot of single mothers, for example, out there in the world that felt like if they didn't take the jab, their kids would, you know, they wouldn't be able to feed their kids. There's people I know in Morocco that were just coerced into it by the army coming to their village and making them do it. And I know a lot of them ran away and hid, but a lot of them had to take it. And it's like, it's just mass murder. And the people that did it are in deep shit. But I do think there's a tipping point. And I think their anecdotal evidence is, because they're very high profile at the moment in the UK. And also Andrew Bridgen, the MP, the only MP really who's speaking out fully against it, although, you know, it's very interesting with the whole I don't think politics is the answer, but it is interesting to see. And I had dinner with Andrew Bridgen last year, and he does seem like a genuine man who's, again, he got jabbed as well, and he seems to be trying to fight on the police. And the war is being fought on multiple levels, right? And it's because, and you know, in podcasts, I think they find their audience because of frequency matching. And, you know, because people are at different levels of understanding about the awakening, because I do describe myself as an apocaloptimist, because this is the apocalypse, which in Greek just means the great revealing. And I'm optimistic about the outcome. And I have been since the beginning. And people say, well, how can you be optimistic? There's all these people dying. Because there's a couple of things that I realized in 2020, Sean. And that was three things. Firstly, I was like, my kids are not going to grow up in the New World Order. I'd actually held that for quite a long time. It's one of the reasons I went to Marrakesh. Secondly, I knew, because of reading things like the Protocols of the Elders of Zion and the Project for the New American Century and all of that kind of stuff, I'd read extensively. I must have done 50,000 hours of research before COVID happened. And I knew, including listening to your show, and I knew that we should have all been wiped out in 2017. So I knew we'd already dodged the biggest bullet in history, which made me kind of realize, well, actually, I think we're going to be okay. It's just that we've got to go through hell, basically, to get to the other side of this. But then so many amazing spiritual experiences have happened to me that I couldn't ignore them anymore. You know, I've got this, I've learned in the last 4 years that I'm claircognizant. I thought claircognizant was a girlfriend in sixth grade. I didn't, you know, it's like this was new to me. And I'm getting all these messages and knowings. And even where I live in the west of Ireland, I ended up here wondering what am I doing here? But then when COVID happened, I was like, oh, I understand why I'm here now. And it's because a lot of the awake souls around the world have formed what I see as a grid of light, which is holding consciousness at a certain level and trying to, the way I see it is like we're trying to help people over the bridge and get them to the other side and have love and compassion for them when they get there, regardless of whether they got themselves injected or not, because we're all brothers and sisters in this together. And where we go one, we go all resonates with me a lot. And I think that's the key to moving forward. But, you know, even where I am now, this is known as the Roswell of Ireland, because there was a UFO crash in this town in 1996. And this was the headquarters of the UFO Society of Ireland for 20 odd years before its founder died about 12 years ago. And, you know, I knew about this a long time ago. And I've been seeing UFOs my entire life. I was a pilot. That was my first job. I know what, you know, how things are supposed to move in the sky, especially when I was living in Marrakesh, because we sat outside every night. There was one night we saw over 30 of them gave us a display to 11 witnesses for half an hour, you know, and then the next day they kind of didn't even hardly remembered it. It was very strange. But, you know, I got visited by a ship literally out my window here, which was a big triangle shaped ship, kind of an orange color with black hieroglyphics on it that then just Star Trek'd off. I saw a flying dragon made of light just over there out the window 18 months ago with my neighbor, flew right over our head at 300 feet. I've been to film all sorts of elementals and ships around Ireland. I mean, and Ireland is actually really, really powerful, and the UK because of the ley lines, the dragon lines. And if anybody watching this has not read Ireland, Land of the Pharaohs, that's a fantastic book. You can get on, just go and search for it on Google, you'll find it. And in that book, it talks about, in that book, it talks about 16 layers of black magic being put on this country because of the spiritual power of the land. And we're surrounded by technology. You know, we're surrounded by, there are cairns near me that predate the pyramids, but it's the same technology and it's the same 42 degree angle, which is, you know, really, really important in terms of the ether. And everything here is lied about. You know, they call them tombs. They're not tombs. They build museums for the Titanic in Belfast when, you know, most of us know that that was all a lie as well to create the Federal Reserve. So, I don't know if I can't remember the question now because I'm waffling.
No, you're good. I mean, honestly, the one comment I had is that I agree with you that we should forgive those who were duped into taking the bioweapon. We can even forgive the doctors who poked people and got paid to do so when they didn't realize it was a bioweapon, but we can't forgive those who continue to do it when they know the truth. So
absolutely. I
have people like Dr. James Thorpe, who was fired from that hospital in Texas for telling his pregnant patients the truth about the potential dangers of the bioweapon masquerading as a vaccine that cost him his job. So I really admire those doctors who are standing with humanity. There's a bunch of them that aren't, but above them, we have people like Prince Philip, may he rest in peace in hell, and below King Charles. I want you to comment on this. King Charles, in that famous quote, "You see, the lineage shows we are related to Vlad the Impaler, you see, so we have a vested interest in the country." And then below him, Prince William, who I've heard is followed by demonic entities. Maybe you want to comment on that. But here's the question. Comment on any of that, by the way. But Kate Middleton, where the heck is Kate Middleton? Because even this latest video appears to be some sort of AI fake because of the disappearing ring on her hand. So I don't know. Is she alive? Is she dead? What are your comments about the satanic family?
Well, it's interesting because I got attacked last weekend on Twitter by 3.2 million people because I put up a survey saying, Kate Middleton, is that Kate Middleton? Yes, no. Or has she got cancer? Yes, no. That's not Kate Middleton. And the attack dogs came out in big force. And that's part of the spiritual war, because coping with that level of attack is massive. But that means you're over the target, because that's not Kate Middleton. She's gone. You know, I think the entire royal family have been gone for many years, and we've been watching a show containing CGI, containing actors in masks, containing body doubles, containing possibly clones. And I think that's been going on for quite a long time.
Well, can I stop you there, though? Because that might be a bridge too far for most listeners, because that
it is.
It's such an orchestration. And, you know, Occam's razor would suggest that the truth is, now, these are real people, probably possessed by demons, who partake in satanic ritual abuse, I think drink baby's blood, and, you know, they're essentially demonic entities in human form. I think for me, anyway, that's a easier pill to swallow. And but I do wonder about the Kate Middleton thing. I mean, did they kill her? Is she dead? Because if they can get away with this AI fake and tell the world that she has cancer, right, in her own words, well, then when she just dies quietly and they have a big state funeral, nobody will question it. Nobody will remember where was Kate. Oh, Kate had cancer and she died peacefully, right?
Yeah, so, that's possible. Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, go ahead. I hear about the clones and all that a lot, and I'm not saying it doesn't exist. I'm not saying deep underground bases don't exist where this type of technology exists. And by the way, I think a lot of the UFOs you describe are probably of terrestrial origin. I mean, I don't know if you followed the mystery of flight, what is it, MH370? That Malaysian airliner that disappeared in the Ashton Forbes investigation. It appears that the United States has technology so advanced it can't be distinguished from that of extraterrestrial technology.
Yeah, I agree with that. I mean, when you know, there's a lot of this is what's so interesting about it, because there's a lot of points to cover there. But I did an interview with Alex Collier after I saw that UFO, and he just said, Alex Collier is the Andromedan experiencer. And he said, and he's been talking about this stuff for years, and he said, no, that was your future self. And I went, oh, that's interesting. And I haven't actually got the answers to anything. I just know that what we're seeing isn't true, isn't real. And if you look at what's going on with Kate Middleton in the last 4 months, it's very similar to the Joe Biden show, because that's not Joe Biden. I've been saying that for years. I mean, that is a multiple. There are multiple Joe Bidens with masks. You know, if 1 minute is tripping up the steps to a plane, the next minute is falling off a bike with 30-year-old legs. So what they've been doing, and this is controversial because I have friends in America who disagree with me very vehemently, but I do believe that God's in control of the whole thing. And what we're actually seeing is to the point of ridiculousness. It's working, you know, because what's happened with the Kate Middleton thing is that people who are not awake in any way, shape or form are starting to go now being called conspiracy theorists by the British media, and that started them going down other rabbit holes, which is a fantastic wake up. It's the same as the mass immigration in Ireland here, which is happening with unvetted, undocumented men of military age literally taking over towns all over this little country. And what that's doing is pulling people away from the television, getting them out onto the streets and going, what is going on? What's my government doing to me? A lot of them didn't do this when they got jabbed with COVID, because they thought, and I understand why as well, they believed that they were doing something good for society. That's why people like us who didn't wear masks and didn't get jabbed got shouted at and spat out in the street. But we were trying to save their lives. That's what we were trying to do. And now it's very hard for people to admit that they were wrong about something. So it's very hard to wake them up by telling them facts. They're not interested in facts. But if you put situations in front of them that make them go, what is going on? That's not real. Then that's triggering their awakening. And I think that's what's really going on. So I think the royal family, I mean, if you look back at Trump's tour in 2017, when he, in terms of the royal family specifically, when he walked in front of the Queen,
it was very powerful.
That was the Queen capitulating to him. Mm-hmm. Whereas the British press was all about, oh, this stupid American doesn't know anything about British protocol, all that bollocks. She capitulated, you know. So what deal was done? I don't know. How that plays out, I'm not sure. But you're right about Prince Charles, Vlad the Impaler. That's in that poem you just played. I put that line in because they are from vampires. And these monsters have been around for a very, very, very long time. And I've met so many and spoken to so many survivors of satanic ritual abuse, including one who saw the Queen turn into a reptile in front of her eyes when she was a kid in dungeons underneath that castle, Windsor Castle.
Is that Fiona?
No, not Fiona. I'm trying to remember her name. Jeanette Archer. And I've met others that have described their, you know, being 11 years old, being brought up in satanic families, and then watching their boyfriend's head cut off in front of them when they're 11 years old. I mean, the level of evil is so deep that people have massive cognitive dissonance about it because they cannot believe that any human being would do this. And that's the point. It's not human. And what, you know, my last YouTube channel got taken down because I did, there's a TV presenter in the UK called Philip Schofield who got outed as a paedophile and sacked from the biggest daytime TV show, or he had to leave it because of the controversy. And I did a video linking him back to Jimmy Savile, who you don't need me to tell you anything about, back to Aleister Crowley, who used to do magic in the lake just over here with W.B. Yeats 100 years ago as members of the Hermetic Order of the Golden Dawn. And then that linking back to, and also on that route back to Aleister Crowley, you've got Ian Fleming, 007. 007 was how John Dee used to sign his letters to Queen Elizabeth I, because he was the magician that stopped the Spanish Armada invading off the coast of Ireland four times. You know, and he's the one who did the deal with the fourth dimensional entities in exchange for the blood of children for the information about how the universe really works. And that's why he had to build all those universities and keep all that knowledge hidden whilst pretending to be educational institutions, because he couldn't cope with the information that was coming in. And that esoteric line of 007, which is shorthand for Tubal Cain, who's the grandson, great-grandson of Cain, as in Cain and Abel, as in cannibal, which is where all that comes from. And, you know, we're just in this incredible duality that they're not going to be able to stop this, because the human race is far more powerful than any of us realize. You know, 97% junk DNA. I don't think so. It's not junk. It's just been turned off and it's being activated now. And because of that activation process, they're terrified of us because they have no creativity. They have none of the abilities that we have, psychic abilities, telekinesis, flying even. We these are things that were taken away from us. I mean, I spoke to somebody the other day who was 78 years old, had been in the military as a pilot and an engineer for 50 years. And he told me, or I got told through somebody else, this story about how he'd actually been over the wall and met the giants and the little people. And they were living in perfect harmony with nature. And you could actually get there by flying from Greenland. So there's so much more to this world than meets the eye. And I think that's part of the important spiritual part of this, is that we have to realize that each one of us is the only person here. So everything that is happening in front of us is there for your spiritual development. And if you understand that, and you also understand that you can't actually die because you're an eternal spirit, then you lose the biggest weapon. The biggest weapon they have against us is fear. And once you get rid of that fear and you're not afraid to pass on, there's nothing they can do. So therefore, you have to keep your mind open to all of these possibilities and take them all with a pinch of salt as well. I don't get married to any particular idea. I can only talk about my own experiences and that it's going to be okay in the end, because amazing things are coming. And yeah. I totally, totally believe that.
Yeah, I saw a bumper sticker the other day on a car that said, "Everything is going to be okay." And it actually made me feel good. And it made me remember the Lord and the power of God and the Creator and his role in this whole thing, right? Because God will not be mocked. I want you to comment on this, Mark. I'm not even going to play it, but Prince William giving a presentation about how we can protect our world for children. These people sacrifice children. So their real goal is to depopulate the earth to save the earth. I mean, we can see that right now from John Kerry, flying around the globe saying the number one enemy of humankind because of carbon emissions is farming. So in order to save people, we need to starve people to death by shutting down farming. I mean, everything they say is a lie and all they do is gaslight people. And I guess my question for you here, and then we'll move on, is, you know, when it comes to Jimmy Savile or Sir Edward Heath, a former prime minister accused of the murder of as many as 16 children, what percentage of the UK population is awake to any of this? Because here's the question. What percentage of people in the UK and around the world do you think are NPCs that will never wake up?
Well, I think it's something like 80%. I think it's that high, or maybe even more, you know, because, you know, it's a very small group of people really around the world that are even speaking out about this stuff. And, you know, you get called at all sorts of names when you do, but The truth has to come out. And it's interesting you mentioned Ted Heath, because and it's the funny thing about life, actually, Sean, is that when COVID hit, I got this massive life review. And I look back at all the things I did in my life that led me to this point, and I was like, oh, that's why I was there. That's why I did that. That's why I did that. And one of those things was my friend in the Air Force, his dad, had a restaurant down in Hampshire, which is where Edward Heath lived. And Edward Heath used to go to his restaurant every week. And he always had a young boy with him. And there were always these Secret Service guys guarding him outside. And they told us that He had a yacht. He was also a famous yachter and a famous bachelor, a bit like Jimmy Savile. And he would go out on this yacht. And I think the name was, I might have the name wrong, but it was something like Morning Glory. And forgive me if anybody watching this says that that's wrong, but they nicknamed it something like Morning Nightmare because Savile would provide the boys from the children's homes, the ho everything else. Then the Hôtel de la Garenne in Jersey, which owned by the royal family, those are Channel Islands. He'd take out these boys out on his boat and then do have his way with them and toss them overboard. I bet it was much more than 16. That's only 16 that have been, owned up to so far. Because they literally, the thing that gets me out of bed every day is the fact that in that poem I said 1 billion souls stolen over the year. Just on official statistics, that's 22,000 children gone missing every single day since the Second World War. That's 1 billion children. That's without the ones that they grow themselves because they have breeders that they keep in cells that breed children for them to do satanic ritual abuse with. They're beyond horrible. And I don't want to live in a world where they exist. I don't know about anybody else, but that's the reason why I do what I do, because it's about the children. And I've got five children of my own, and I don't want them to live in that world. It's beyond horrific. I'm not going to stand for it. And I implore anybody watching this, if there's anything, if you don't believe anything I'm saying or what you're saying, please do some research before you start disagreeing. But if you do understand what's really going on, start doing something about it. And that's what my message really is to people, because even in the truther world, I know I don't even like calling it a movement necessarily, because most of us don't even know each other. But in the truther world, you've got all sorts of cults popping up that are behaving like limited hangouts. You've got things like the medbed cult, as I call it. Now, medbed technology, I'm 100% sure exists, but there's a lot of people out there that are just going, the medbeds are coming tomorrow. The medbeds are coming tomorrow. And they're not doing anything. It's the same as the RV crowd. That's a cult as well. The revaluation of currency crowd. There's people literally saying, well, we're going to have $1 billion next week. So we'll just sit here and wait for it. And I'm like, no. God wants you to stand up and do something. God wants you to earn your place in the future. It's not just about being on, knowing what the truth is about the world. You've got to act on it. And this is one of the reasons why we opened the Healing Center in Ireland last year, because I had a friend and I said, I'm fed up of waiting for this. There's people dying now. What are we going to do? We're going to do something. And it doesn't mean that you have to go and create a podcast, talk online. Or open up a healing center. It means whatever you've got, whatever resources you've got, go and do something. Grow your own food. Start learning about structured water, and salt. Start having proper salt in your body. Charge yourself with the electricity that it's supposed to have that they told you was going to give you a heart attack. Start putting hydrogen in you. Simple things that are very low cost that can change your health, make you indestructible, and get you ready for what's coming, which is going to be amazing, because I do believe the best is yet to come.
Okay, friends, thanks so much for being here. This concludes part one of my interview with Mark Atwood. Stay tuned for part two, in which we talk about real solutions, things that you can actively do right now to improve life for you and your family. We talk about med beds and so much more actionable information. So until next time, may God bless you and yours. And I'll remind you every single day for free, check us out for free to get the antidote to corporate propaganda at sgtreport.com. God bless.
There is these counterinsurgency wars that are already taking place. And so you guys got to get deadly serious about your actions and your plans, because you must understand something. They are going for the throat. They're going to try to dismantle the resistance before it ever actually fights at all.